Amen. So let's turn to scriptures tonight. We're going to go to the book of Genesis. It's the first book in the Bible. And chapter 39. Genesis 39. For the sake of time, I'm just going to read the first five verses. Rather than read a lengthy reading, but verses 1 to 5. It says this. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites, who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house, and all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Now there we have the, not the introduction to Joseph, because we know a little bit about his younger life from the previous chapters. And if you remember and recall, his brothers, well, Joseph began to have dreams. And he told his dreams to his brothers and his parents. And in these, let me use a word, superior to the others. If you know, in one of the dreams he had, he dreamt that he was there was 12 sheaves of corn, and you know, the 11 sheaves bowed down to the one sheaf. And his brothers, if you remember, hated him. They didn't like him. And they saw every opportunity to get rid of him. And then one day, an opportunity came. Joseph went looking for his brothers at the request of his father. And they got hold of him. They were going to kill him. But in one of the brothers intervened and said, let's not harm him. And he had the intention of releasing him and letting him go. But the others decided they wanted to sell him. And they sold him to a group of Ishmaelites, which is where we picked up in verse 1, who were traveling into Egypt. And this officer of Pharaoh, whose name was Potiphar, bought Joseph as a slave. But there's a statement made, or actually it's made twice in that reading that we had, and it's actually made four times in this chapter. And it's this, around this statement we're going to be looking at tonight, and it's what we read in verse 2. It says, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. In verse 4, verse 3, we see the same statement made. His master saw that the Lord was with him. And we have it again in verse 21 and in verse 23. The Lord was with Joseph. Now, these five verses that we read tells us something about the life of Joseph. He was a man who trusted God. He's a man who put his faith and his confidence in God. This statement that the Lord was with him. We see when, after this statement, we see another phrase. It says, and he was a successful man, in verse 2. In verse 3, the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. In verse 21, we see the phrase, after the Lord was with Joseph, he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And then in verse 23, it says, the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. God's blessing was upon this young man. And it was the blessing that made him prosper. Verse 5, we will say the Lord was with him. The Lord was, how do I know we're talking about the blessing? Because verse 5 tells us, you know, God was with him. The Lord was with him. Verse 5 says that, it was from the time that he made him overseer of his, blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house. You know, the blessing of God was upon not only Joseph, but upon Potiphar too. Because God was with Joseph. Now, God's blessing on Joseph, I think there's a parallel in verse 21 here. We're talking about the blessing. It says that the Lord gave him favor. You know, God's blessing is his favor. The favor of God was upon him. And because of that, everything Joseph did was successful, and he prospered. We find that under Joseph's care, the whole of Potiphar's house was blessed. We have, although we didn't read it, it says in. I've got to find the exact scripture. Verse 7. This is where Joseph is. He goes. He's around about the house, and Potiphar's wife begins to look upon him, and she's there trying to. And the temptation comes. But we know he refuses. It says, it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, he says, my master does not know what is with me in the house. And he's committed all that he has to my hand. There's no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you. Because you are his wife. You know, everything in the house was under Joseph's hand. Why? Because God was blessing him. And Potiphar saw that. He saw the blessing of God upon him. He saw the favor of God upon him. And everything Joseph did was blessed. Now, we just started reading it. You know, things began to change for Joseph, even though he was blessed, even though the favor of God was upon him, even though the blessing was upon him. We find that this woman, Potiphar's wife, she approached him day after day. This wasn't just a one-off occasion, but she was at him all the time, constantly. She spoke to Joseph, verse 10 tells us, day by day. Day by day. And he didn't listen to her. He didn't take any notice of her. He just uttered probably the same words as he did on this, what it reads in verse 9. You know that, you know, he's entrusted me everything in the house. The only thing I'm not allowed to have is you. And obviously, he wouldn't have wanted her anyway because... And it happened one day, verse 11 tells us, that Joseph went into the house to do his work. And this time, there was no other man inside the house. All of the other male servants were either outside or away doing something. There was no other men in the house. And she seized the opportunity, she grabbed him, she caught him by his jacket, his coat, and tried to almost, I would imagine, to pull him onto the bed and say, come and lie down with me. But what he did is he slipped out of his garment and ran out of the house. Now, you know what happened? She made up this story that Joseph came in to attack her and to rape her and do all sorts of things with her. And Potiphar believed his wife. And you know what happened? Joseph was taken. He was put into prison. Verse 20 tells us that. Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the prison. But verse 21 tells us again, but the Lord was with Joseph. Even though things, his circumstance had changed, even though it appeared that things were not going right, in actual fact it appeared that everything was going wrong. He'd been falsely accused. False allegations were made against him. He'd been wrongly, of course, imprisoned and put into the chains. But still Joseph knew the presence of God. And even in the prison, verse 21 tells us that God gave him favor in the sight of the prison guard. You know, the favor of God was, the blessing was on him working in his life. Now, if we jump ahead 2 years in Joseph's life, because that's how long he spent in the prison. He'd been forgotten, he'd been left. And 2 years later, still the Lord was with him. The blessing of God was upon him. Now, he may not have been in the perfect surroundings. He may not have had the greatest of the circumstances. He'd been forgotten. He'd been left. Two men that he met in prison, the chief baker and the chief butler. They got alongside Joseph, or Joseph got alongside them, interpreted some dreams for them. They left the prison. One was executed, one was restored, and he was forgotten still. But still, the blessing was at work. Because we see 2 years later, if you just come with me into the next, chapter 41, verse 1. So it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream. And behold, Pharaoh sees some things. I'm not going to take time to go into the dream tonight, but he asks for someone to interpret this dream. And no one in Pharaoh's court, in the palace, no one in the land was able to interpret this dream. But don't forget, Joseph is still in prison. The blessing of God is still on. He's not given up his trust and his confidence in God. Then verse 9, come with me to verse 9. Then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh saying, I remember my fault this day. He says, when Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in custody. Now he's going back sometime. Put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker. We each had a dream. And verse 12 says, now there was a young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. Each man he interpreted according to his own dream, and it came to pass, just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, verse 14, and brought him quickly out of the dungeon. And he shaved and changed his clothing and came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh began to explain to him the dream and said, I've heard that you are able to interpret the dreams. You know, here he comes up out of prison and he stands before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh tells him this dream, and Joseph, under the Spirit of God's upon him, God showed him the interpretation of this dream, and he tells Pharaoh this dream. In verse 37, still in chapter 41, verse 37, says, so he asks Joseph, well, what should happen? And Joseph says, well, this is what you should do. Pharaoh, you should set a wise man over the affairs of Egypt, and they can govern and make plans and get prepared for the 7 years of famine that are going to come. And verse 37 tells us this. The advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this? A man in whom is the Spirit of God. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I... And everything Joseph did prospered. You know, everything Joseph touched was successful. Why? Because the Lord was with him. The Spirit of God was upon him. The blessing of God was working in his life. And that same blessing brought him up out of the prison. And what actually we see here, we've read here, is that he was elevated to a place where he was second in command. Not over Potiphar's house, but this time over the whole land of Egypt. And the story goes on. But what I wanted you to see, we're going to go through a few scriptures tonight. I'm going to show you the blessing of God upon certain individuals. And nearly always, in all the verses we're going to read, most of the verses we're going to read, will have this sort of phrase, you know, God is with them, or the Lord is with them, or with us, or in some that some form of that phrase. So let's go first, we're going to go back a few chapters, to chapter 26, Genesis 26. And we're going to look at verse 24. Here is Isaac, chapter 26, verse 24. Then the Lord appeared to him, Isaac, so he's talking about, the same night, and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. I am with you. God was with Isaac. And God promised Isaac that he would bless him. The blessing of God would be upon him. We see the same thing with Jacob in chapter 30. Well, actually, we're going to read, it's actually chapter 31, but we're going to go to the last verse of chapter 30, and then into chapter 31. So chapter 30, verse 43, the last verse, says, thus the man, he's talking about Jacob, became exceedingly prosperous, and he had large flocks, female and male servants, and camels and donkeys. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what was our father's he has acquired all this wealth. And Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable toward him as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field to his flock. And he said to them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not favorable toward me as before, but the God of my father has been with me. And you know that with all my might I have served your father. So there Jacob gives testimony that God has been with him, and that God had given him wisdom in handling Laban's flocks and over Laban's business. And he also knew that he'd been deceived and cheated out of wages. And so he, again under the wisdom of God, the Spirit of God was upon him, Jacob came up with these ideas. And what he did is because Laban had promised him that every lamb that wasn't pure in its colouring might be speckled or spotted, it had coloration in the wool, excuse me, that Jacob could keep those. And Laban wanted the ones that looked the best. And so, I believe wisdom from God, Jacob began to, when the ewe sheep were ready to conceive, they conceived in front of mesh. And so they conceived spotted and streaked and speckled sheep. And they gave birth to the spotted, the speckled and the streaked. And Jacob's flocks grew and grew and grew. And his flocks were healthy and Laban's flocks were weak. And God was blessing him. Why? Because the Lord was with him. And now he's promised here that it's time to move on, but God will go with him again. God will continue to be with him. And God will continue to bless him. If you come with me to 1 Samuel. I've got about 8 different scriptures we're going to look at, but 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now, Samuel's a different type of person. Samuel's a prophet. And there's an amazing statement made about Samuel in verse 19. And it says, so Samuel grew. Now, he's still a young person. Maybe not a young child, but he's still a young man at this point. It says, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. Not one word that Samuel spoke failed. Everything Samuel said would happen came to pass. But there's that statement's made there, the Lord was with him. And the Lord began to show himself to Samuel more and more, and we know Samuel was one of the great prophets and one of the judges, the last of the judges. We see the same, God was with another one in, again, the same book, 1 Samuel chapter 18. This time we're looking at David. So in 1 Samuel 18, I'm just picking out some verses, and there are other verses which say that God was with these people. But 1 Samuel 18, verse 12. This is just after the victory over Goliath. It says, Saul, verse 12, now Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from his presence and made him his captain over 1,000. He went out and came in before the people. And David behaved wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Therefore, when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him. You know, the blessing of God was upon David, and that set him above Saul. You know, Saul was fearful of him. Saul was wary of him. He didn't know how to handle David. He'd seen firsthand, you know, that God was obviously with him, because when he went out against Goliath, none of his, not even the best of his men, were even prepared to go and fight this man, but this young boy, on whom the blessing of God was upon him, on whom the Spirit of God was, he went out. He ran out towards the giant, it says in the previous chapter. He ran to meet him. You know, God's blessing was upon this man. And Saul was afraid of him. Saul didn't know how to handle him, what to think of him. We see another servant of God in 2 Kings chapter 18. This is King Hezekiah. Two Kings chapter 18 verse 7. Talking about King Hezekiah. And it tells us just before this verse that Hezekiah trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor who were before him. For he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. Then verse 7 tells us this. It says, the Lord was with him. He prospered wherever he went. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. So God was with him, Hezekiah, and prospered him and blessed him. In the book of Acts, Acts chapter 10, we see the blessing of God again on, well, Luke records it. He's writing these, and Peter is proclaiming it to Cornelius. But in verse 38, it says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. It says, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. And it says, for was with him. God was with him. The blessing of God was upon Jesus. Now, most people think that, well, a lot of people think that because Jesus was God, he was able to do all the mighty works, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out the demons. You've got to remember, Jesus, when he was on earth, was man. Just like you and me. He had a fleshly body. The reason Jesus could do all the things, why? Because God was with him. The blessing of God was upon him. The anointing of God, Peter clearly says here, he says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. And he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. Why? Because God was with him. Back into the Old Testament, to the Psalms. The first psalm, Psalm 1, verse 1, the very first verse of the Psalms. Now look at this, the first word of this psalm. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. For he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now, although this verse doesn't actually say that the Lord was with, or is with, these ones, the blessing of God is upon the ones who are godly. The blessing of God is upon the godly. He says that they will prosper. The blessing of God will make them prosper. Now, the last verse we're going to turn up just for now is in Matthew. And it's the last verse of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 20. Now, Pastor often quotes these few verses. It starts in verse 18. It's a very familiar scripture to you. I know it is, because Pastor quotes it frequently. So Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." So go into all the nations, teach, preach, make disciples, baptize, teach them to observe the commandments. And we have a promise there from Jesus. He says, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, you cannot have the blessing without God's presence with you. I think we've to say that the Lord was with them. The Lord was with them. You've got to have God's presence with you. He is the blesser. Now, a lot of people talk and think, and I think I touched on this on Sunday morning, they talk about material prosperity or healing or a spiritual gift or something tangible that they can grasp hold of. And they say that that's the blessing. No, that's a byproduct of the blessing. We refer to them as blessings. And we mustn't confuse blessings with the blessing. The tangible blessings, those things like the health, material prosperity, spiritual gifts, or anything else that we seek God for. And those tangible things that you hear people say, "I've been blessed today." When you hear that, "I've been blessed," what they normally mean is there's something tangible that they've got. They've received something. Now, maybe something spiritual that they've received, but it's something that they've received. And that's what they normally talk about. But these tangible blessings are only the results and the benefits of the blessing. You know, when God is with us, I think one of the mistakes we often make, and a lot of people make, is when they're seeking God for the things and not the one who gives the things. They seek God for the benefits and not actually the one who actually blesses. They're seeking a financial miracle to meet a need rather than the blesser. I don't even know if that's a correct use of English, is it, the blesser? But you know what I mean. There's a scripture. Let's turn to it. Proverbs 10, verse 22. This is the scripture I quoted Sunday morning. Proverbs 10, verse 22. I want you to look at the wording of this verse. Now, if anybody has anything different to this, lucky to tell me. But verse 22 says this: the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Blessing here is in the singular. No, we're not talking about blessings. We're not talking about things. A lot of people think it's the things that make them rich. It's the things that make them wealthy, whether that's material or spiritual. What actually makes us rich in the eyes of God is the blessing. His blessing. The blessing of the things, something tangible. There can be sorrow attached, because they might not get what they are seeking, and that can make them sorrowful. But when you seek the blessing, there's no sorrow with the blessing. The blessing always satisfies, because God knows exactly what we need. Seek God first. Seek Him, not the things, not the blessings. The one who blesses, the giver. Remember, a few weeks ago, it's rapidly flying by, it's quite a few weeks ago now, we were celebrating and remembering the birth of Jesus. And one of the names ascribed to Jesus in Isaiah's prophecy was that of Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. Now, everything that God is, everything that God has ever been, was wrapped up in Jesus. Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead, Colossians tells us that. And in Him, there's completeness. Now, Jesus put it like this. In his message on the Mount, his Sermon on the Mount, he was talking about the sort of things that we have need of every day. I can't remember the exact chapter. It's chapter 6, I think, Matthew 6. And in that chapter, he talks about our food, our clothing. He says, look at the birds of the air. He says, they don't work. He says, they don't, the flowers of the field. He says, they don't work. They do all, God looks after them. And then he goes on in that verse in, let's turn it up, Matthew 6, let me get it exactly for you. It's somewhere around verse 30. Matthew 6, 33. 32 and 33. Well, let's go to 31. Jesus says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. They're seeking blessings. They're seeking things. What we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear, where we're going to live, how we're going to pay the bills, how we're going to do this, how we're going to feed the baby. All these things. He says, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Now, that doesn't mean we don't ask. But he says, seek first. Your first priority, your first responsibility is to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then our first priority is to seek God first. Seek His presence first. Get into that place of fellowship with God. So like, we could say like Joseph, like Jacob, Isaac. The Lord is with us. Then out of that fellowship will flow all the fullness of His blessing. We'll get the blessings. But they'll come as a result of the blessing. Because the blessing of the Lord will make us rich. Now that's why we should get excited. You know, I've quoted it quite a few times already this year. We get excited because the Lord is with us. You know, and again, I'm going to come back to that scripture in Matthew 18. where Jesus says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. You know, just we've come together tonight in Jesus' name. There's more than two of us. And that means God is with us. Now, it's not to give us the license just to hold the meeting. It doesn't say, well, there's more than two of us, so we can have a meeting, we can have a get. No. Because there's two of us, God is with us. Now, God is with us when we're on our own, but when we come together, you know, the blessing of God is right here in this place. God is with us, and anything can happen. You know, if you look at that chapter in Matthew 18, the verses immediately preceding that, where I quoted verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. But the two verses that immediately come before that, verses 18 and 19, he says, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning... I think this is amazing. These are amazing words. Just listen. If two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Why? Because if two agree, you can only have agreement where there's two or more. Two people coming together can agree. Can't agree on your own. You have to have somebody else to have an agreement with. So if two of you, if just two, can agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Then he adds these. He says, because where two or three are gathered together in my name, he says, I'm right there in the midst of them. The blessing of God is right there. And the blessing of God will make us successful. It will prosper us wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever our circumstances, whatever situation we reach. And he adds no sorrow with it. So, going back to Joseph. You know, we see all... all through his life, God's blessing at work upon him. You know, he was falsely accused, thrown into prison, but the blessing of God was upon him. You know, God was with him, and God prospered him and blessed him. Even when his brothers came to buy grain, remember, he was in charge. He was head over all of the land. I'm going to finish with Genesis 41 verse 52. And his two sons were born to Joseph at this time. The firstborn was called Manasseh. And the second born was called Ephraim. And we get the name of Ephraim in verse 52. Genesis 41 verse 52. Says, in the name of the second he called Ephraim. Because he says, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. You know, God blessed him. I was going to finish with that verse, but the Lord just reminded me of another verse, and we'll turn up. In Genesis 1, the first chapter of Genesis, we see verse Verse 27. We will finish with this, I promise. So, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. Let me ask you a question. I don't want an answer, not unless you want to answer me. What did, in the Garden of Eden, what did Adam need?
Nothing.
So when it says God blessed them, are we talking about blessings? We're talking about things? Because that's what we would mean if we, well, God's blessed me today. I've got something from God. Maybe a word from God, or something physical, a touch in my body, or a financial miracle. What did they need? They didn't need nothing. God blessed them. It's the blessing of God was upon them. And everything in Eden was under the blessing. He says, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. The blessing of God was there so that they could be fruitful. So that they could multiply. So that they could be what we would term blessed. The blessing. God blessed them. Put the blessing of God upon them. And he told them to be fruitful and multiply. So, now, God willing, we're going to develop that theme, but not for a few more weeks. Brother Dave's going to take over for a few weeks and teach us. So, we'll come back, we'll touch on this again in a few weeks' time, and I'll refresh you and bring it back to your remembrance. But until then, God bless you.
Thank you.
Yes.